And now, Don Blackwell.
2 Timothy 4:7, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Philippians 1:21, he wrote, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Friends, passages like these and others give me the greatest of confidence that the Apostle Paul was a saved individual and that he will spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. And the very interesting thing is that the very same procedure, the very same thing that saved Paul is the same thing that will save me and you and every other man living today. We all have to go through the same steps that Paul did in order to obtain eternal life. What I want to do in the program today is to look at the conversion of Paul, or Saul as his name originally was, and to notice some things that did not save Saul. Because some of the things that did not save Saul are some of the same things being taught by the denominational world today in order to be saved. The title of the lesson today is Saul and Salvation. I want to begin where the Bible first introduces us to the man named Saul. His name first appears in Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. The Lord's church at this time had only been in existence for a few years. And one of its great preachers, a man named Stephen, is proclaiming the gospel in the city of Jerusalem. And as Stephen preaches to the people present on that occasion about the Christ, they became so angry, they cried out and they ran and they grabbed him and they drug him out of the city and they stoned that faithful Christian man, Stephen, to death. And Acts 7:58 says, "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." You see, Saul was a Jew. In fact, he was of the strictest sect of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. Now, that brings us to the first point in our lesson. The first thing that I want you to notice that would not save Saul was Judaism. Now, Judaism was once the religion of God's people, but not since the gospel was extended to the world had that been the case. Since the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was first offered to all men everywhere have been required to become Christians in order to be saved. In Acts chapter 2, the gospel was extended to the Jews. In Acts chapter 10, the gospel was extended to the Gentiles. In fact, later in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul says to some Jewish Christians who were trying to go back to Judaism, he says, "Whosoever of you are justified by the law of Moses, that is, he says, you have fallen from grace." In 2 Timothy 2:10, we read that salvation is found only in Christ Jesus. And the Jews deny that. And so, a man today who holds to Judaism will be lost. But ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I hear people today talk about the fact of how the Jews are God's chosen people. Friends, today, Christians are God's chosen people. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation." I heard a denominational preacher on television saying that the Jews and the Muslims and those who don't accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God can be saved anyway. That's what some men say. But Jesus said in John 8 and 24, "If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." And it goes on to show us that very often men teach things that are contrary to God's Word. They teach things that are contrary to what the Lord says about how to be saved. But though Saul was a Jew, he was a lost man. Judaism was not able to save Saul. But secondly, I want you to notice a second thing that was not able to save Saul, and that is religious zeal. When we leave Acts chapter 7 and the stoning of Stephen, we move to Acts chapter 8 and we see that Saul made havoc of the church. He entered into every house and he threw the Christians into prison. Galatians 1:13 says that beyond measure, Paul said, I persecuted the church of God and I tried to destroy it. Verse 14, he says, being more exceedingly zealous in the tradition of my fathers. You know, many people in the religious world have the idea that so long as a person is zealous toward God, it does not matter what he believes. It doesn't matter what he does. But Saul found out that was not right. The Lord said that Saul was fighting against him. And so even though he was a zealous man, he was a lost man. Notice Judaism would not save Saul. Notice that being zealous would not save Saul. Thirdly, I want you to notice that a good conscience would not save Saul. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, as Paul stood before the Jewish council, he makes an absolutely amazing statement. He says, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Friends, that's incredible. I could not say that. I could not say that I have always lived in perfect accord with my conscience. But Saul said that he had done that. Now, I want you to appreciate this with me. He says, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Friends, that means that Paul was living as a Jew, and yet he was living in good conscience. That is, after Christianity had come into effect. That means that when he was out persecuting Christians, he did it in a good conscience. That means that when they stoned Stephen to death, and he looked on and watched their coats, he did it in good conscience. All the while, Saul felt that he was living right. He was living in sin, and yet he felt that he was living right. Now that tells me one thing for certain, and that is the fact that my feelings are not a reliable source of determining right or wrong. My feelings are not a reliable source of determining whether I'm saved or whether I'm lost. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people today base their salvation on their own personal conscience. What seems to be right, or how they feel. But the Bible says that these things will lead you astray. Sometimes today, people will put their hand on their heart, and they will say, I know that I am saved because I feel it in my heart. But John 1 chapter 5 and verse 13 tells us that the way that a man can know that he is saved is by the things that are written in the Bible, not by the things that he may feel. You see, Saul lived in good conscience, but his conscience betrayed him in that sense. Feelings betray us. The Bible tells us that. The only way I can know for certain that I am saved are by the things that are written in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, we're told about the day of judgment, that many people who will be lost will be people who will feel like they were saved, people who felt like they were living right. Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You see, the Lord said on the day of judgment, there will be people who relied on their feelings, who believed sincerely that they were saved, but they will be mistaken. Saul lived in a good conscience, according to a good conscience, and he felt like everything was okay. But he was a lost man. And so Judaism would not save him. Religious zeal would not save him. A good conscience, a clear conscience, would not save him. But I want you to notice, fourthly, something else that would not save Saul is belief alone. Belief alone. In Acts chapter 9, Saul, in all of his zeal, had assembled a team of men and supplies, and he had gotten letters from the high priest, and he was traveling to the city of Damascus to persecute Christians. On the way, Christ appeared to him. Acts 9 and 3 says, As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Friends, it's obvious from the text and from Saul's subsequent behavior that he believed the Lord. He said, Who are you, Lord? The Lord responded, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Saul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I think it's quite obvious that Saul accepted the evidence of what he had seen. Saul believed. And friend, the Bible teaches the necessity of belief to a man's salvation. A man must believe. Mark 16:15-16, Jesus said, Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be damned. Now someone may say, Well, what is it that I'm to believe? What does this entail? A man must understand that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Son of God. In John 8:24, Jesus said, If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. A man must understand that Jesus is deity. John 1:14, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. A man must also believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. How that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8, and then He arose from the dead, defeating death, 1 Corinthians 15:54-55. Romans 10:9 says, If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And it's crucial that a man believe and understand the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22-23 tells us the body of Christ is His church. A man needs to understand the one church wherein all the saved are located. Not a denomination. We don't read about denominations in the Bible. The body of Christ is the one and the only church of Christ. Acts 8:12, But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And incidentally, the text says men and women. Never do we read about little children being baptized, and indeed, they don't need to be. Those who are accountable in the eyes of God are those who have reached a certain level of mental development. They're people who are old enough to believe. But friends, even though Saul believed, he was still a lost man, because belief alone will not save a man. In John 12:42, we read about those who believed on Christ, but because they loved the praise of men, they would not follow through in obedience. And there are many people like that still in existence today. Number five, I want you to notice with me a fifth thing that would not save Saul, and that was repentance alone. If you'll continue with me in Acts chapter 9, Saul was trembling and astonished, and he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? The Lord told him to go into the city. In verse 8, Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Nowhere does the Bible specifically tell us that Saul repented. But you know it doesn't need to. It's very obvious by his behavior. Repentance is a change of mind brought about by godly sorrow that results in a reformation of life. And clearly, Saul had experienced a change of mind. Clearly, he is experiencing sorrow. The Bible says he did not even eat for 3 days. He did not eat or drink for 3 days. But even though Saul has seen the Lord, even though he was a believer, even though he was a penitent man, he was still lost. Now, I'm not trying to downplay the importance of repentance, because the Bible says it's necessary for a man to repent if he's going to be saved. When the men on the day of Pentecost wanted to know what to do to be saved, Peter told them in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts 17:30 says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." And so while we fully recognize the necessity of repentance to a man's salvation, we also recognize that stopping there, stopping at repentance, will leave a man in the condition that Saul was, and that was lost. I also want you to notice, very importantly, that prayer would not save Saul. After Saul had gone into the city of Damascus, he had not eaten or had anything to drink for 3 days. And the Lord speaks to a disciple by the name of Ananias, and he says to him, "Arise and go to the street that is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying." Now this is very important. The Holy Spirit did not include this phrase in the Bible by accident. It is there to teach us a very important fact. Here is Saul as a lost individual, as a believing individual, as a penitent and praying individual. But friends, even then, his prayer would not save him. And I know that, because when Ananias arrives at his house, Ananias tells Saul that he is still in his sins, Acts 22:16. Now someone may say, "Well, why is that so important?" Friends, it is so important because many people in the religious world today teach that a person, in order to be saved, simply needs to say a prayer. That is what is frequently taught. That is an answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" But the problem is, it is a wrong answer. The problem is, it's not the Bible answer. It's an answer that will cause men to be lost. It's an answer that will cause men to be in that group to whom the Lord will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." This plan of just saying a little prayer says, just call upon God by saying a prayer and you'll be saved. But again, Jesus specifically said, in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven." So what's the problem with this idea of praying for salvation? Number one, it's not found in the Bible. Nowhere in the pages of the New Testament do we ever read about anyone ever praying a prayer to be saved and to become a Christian. Now, some people have tried to cite the example of Luke 18:13 as an example of a, quote, sinner's prayer. It's where the publican goes into the temple to pray, and he says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But number one, that man was a Jew living under the law of Moses. And number two, that man's prayer did not make him a Christian, because indeed the Christian system and the church had not yet come into existence. Christ had not even died at that point. This example of the publican is totally irrelevant to my salvation today in the Christian age. Now, at one point in the New Testament, we do read about a penitent man, a believing man, a sinner, praying to God. And it's the case we're studying in this lesson. That's Saul of Tarsus. Acts 9:11 says, "For behold, he is praying." But you know, even though Saul was a believing individual, a penitent individual, a praying individual, he was still lost. When Ananias arrived at his house where Saul was staying, here's what he said to him. Acts 22:16, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You see, friend, Saul was still in his sins. Even after believing, he was still in his sins. Even after repenting and praying, he was still in his sins. And sin is what causes a man to be lost. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." The reason that any man will go to hell eternally is because of sin. The result of sin is eternal death in hell, and Saul was still in his sin at this point. What was he told to do about it? The remedy for his problem, Ananias told him, was to arise and to be baptized. You see, the Bible teaches that a man must believe the gospel, and Saul had already done that. The Bible teaches that a man must repent. Saul had already done that. The Bible teaches that a man must confess Christ. Romans 10:10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Saul had already done that, or was about to do that. The only thing that Saul lacked was that which the Lord demanded, and that is for a man to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And so Ananias said to him, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." I can't be saved until my sins are washed away. And this verse teaches that they are washed away in baptism. Friends, that means I can't be saved first and baptized later, as is commonly taught by the denominational world. Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." I can't have my sins remitted before I'm baptized. Therefore, I cannot be saved before I'm baptized.